We read him from chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hear now the inspired word of God. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let's pray. Lord God, once again, we thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And once again, how can we not but continue to sing praises to your name and say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you saved us to serve you. And Lord God, that's our prayer and our desire. But Lord God, too, we also acknowledge we need your word to know your holy, perfect will, to carry out your holy, perfect will. So, Lord God, please, now by your Holy Spirit, please bless your word to each of our hearts and minds this morning. And, Lord God, it's our prayer that you would save and sanctify your people this morning. Lord, please give me the utterance and the boldness and the love to faithfully preach and teach and live out your word. We ask for this all in your Son's name. Amen. Please be seated. And once again, please forgive me. I neglected. Please keep in prayer, once again, Pastor Jensen and our young people as they're meeting this Lord's Day and worshiping. Please keep them in prayer and that they would be blessed by God's word this morning as well. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you were to ask me what's the most common violation I see that comes into traffic court every day, I'd say the most common violation I see are people who fail to either renew their registration or their driver's license. I think we get more and more tickets for expired registration and having an invalid registration on their car more than any other ticket. And once again, it's usually due to people just forgetting. Or, this is also a common reason, and I've actually experienced this myself, many people will send in a timely way, they'll send in for their registration sticker and send the money in, and then the New York Department of Motor Vehicles doesn't send it to you till after the expiration date. So many times people don't have the proper registration sticker on their vehicle, and they end up getting written for having an expired registration, not being updated. Once again, New York State requires you to renew your registration. It requires you to renew your insurance. It requires you to renew your driver's license. You have to make it new again. Now, once again, part of that is so, hey, we know which cars are on the road and who's driving those cars, and so the state can properly maintain and protect the safety of those of us on the road. And once again, things change. And so once again, New York State wants to be updated. They want to know who's driving and what cars are being driven and who those cars belong to. So you have to renew your registration. You have to renew your driver's license. In fact, I'm going to give you a little warning here. If you ever sell your car, before you turn the keys over to that car to someone, if you're selling it to an individual, make sure you have that person register that vehicle before you give them the keys. If they don't bother to go to New York State and register the car in their name, guess who is still responsible for that car being on the road? You are. If you're the last registered owner, that's what New York State has in its records. So if there's any problem with that car, you're going to be the one who's going to be held responsible for all of its financial liability. This happens time and time. People come in and say, oh, but I sold that car. So how come now I have over $5,000 worth of parking tickets? You're the last registered owner of the car. And when you sold that car to someone else, you didn't properly make sure that it was now registered to the new owner. I also have to warn you about cars for kids. If you donate your car to a charity like Cars for Kids, or Big Brother, Big Sister, whoever you donate your car to, make sure you hold on to that paperwork.
Because once again, those charitable donations, they take the car and they don't register the car. They actually, you know, sometimes will just sell it off to some salvage yard. And guess what? Salvage yards are notorious for just leaving wrecked cars on the side of the road and never registering them. So once again, those people come to our court and say, how come I have over $5,000 worth of parking tickets? I donated this car. Well, you did donate this car. Fine, show us the documentation that you did so. Otherwise, as far as New York State is concerned, that vehicle is yours and you're responsible because you're the last registered owner. New York needs to be kept up to date about these things. And I'm going to have, once again, great financial responsibility on you if you haven't done that. You need to renew it. You need to keep up to date. You need to make things new again. That's what renew literally means. It just means to make, hey, I'm making this new again. In the original Greek, it actually was actually a construction term. You restored something. You made it new again. Literally meant renovation. Oh, we renovate our bathroom. We renovate our kitchen. We renovate our roof. We renovate our siding. We make our houses new again. That's what it means to renew, to make new again so it appears as if it's new again. I think we all now have a clear understanding of the word renew. Do we understand it, though, within its biblical context? We're told here in Romans that we're actually, as part of our worship, we're to renew our minds. We're to make our minds new again. What is the Apostle Paul driving at here in Romans? What does that actually mean, to renew our minds? How are we to worship God by the renewing of our minds? What is God actually calling us to do here? Now, many times people have looked at this, oh, well, the renewing of your mind means, okay, you stop looking at bad things and doing bad things, and, you know, you just stop doing bad things and start doing good things. You stop looking at bad things and start looking at good things. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. In fact, the Scriptures command us. The Scriptures command us saying, hey, we should focus in on whatever good and pure and noble and holy and righteous and true and good. Yeah. That's part of it. That's part and parcel of how we may renew our minds. But what is it that's actually being renewed? What's being made new again? And in what context are we renewing our minds? Well, first of all, need to go back to Titus 3. That's why we read that passage this morning. I want us to understand what's being required of us here in terms of us renewing our minds. I want us to make sure that we're not simply just looking at, oh, the renewing of our mind is, hey, this is just some way for us to earn points with God. Or this is something we have to do if we want to be on God's good side. Or that it is just something that we simply have to keep doing on our own to somehow maintain our relationship with God. That's not what Paul was talking about here in Romans 12, verse 2, when he's exhorting us to renew our minds. I want us to understand the renewing of our minds in its full biblical context and what's really at stake here. So that's why we read through Titus 3 this morning, because we need to first start off with this. In terms of us renewing our minds, we need to first realize that God has already renewed us. He's already made us a new person. He's made us new again. We read that in Titus 3. And not because of anything we said or did. Not because of any righteousness in us. No, in fact, Paul is very clear to Titus, hey, no. God saved you and He sanctified you just simply because He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He saved you and sanctified you not because there was something worthy in you, not because you had somehow impressed God, not how you had somehow impressed God with your right way of thinking. No, he saved you because he's merciful. And he loves you. And he showed you that love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, who stood in your place and took on your just punishment and justified you, made you right with God by his sacrifice, by his saving work. And to complete that, and for us to understand why Christ saved us and stood in our place and took away our sins, Paul goes on to explain and say, not only did he send his son Jesus Christ to save you, he sent his Holy Spirit to regenerate you and to renew you. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the dynamics of you being made right with God and you having a right relationship with God. We talk a great deal about, oh, Jesus went to the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus went to the cross for us. Jesus saved us. Jesus justified us. But it didn't stop there. Paul goes on and says to Titus, hey, not only did God send his son Jesus to die for you, but he also sent his Holy Spirit to you as well. And God's Holy Spirit regenerated you and renewed you so that you could actually trust and believe in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and how Christ justified you. And it's all of his glorious work. By God's Holy Spirit. And what does it mean that he regenerated you? What does regenerate mean? It means he made you alive again in his son Jesus Christ. You were once dead in your sins. And guess what? As a part of you being dead in your sins, you were also dead in your thinking. Deadhead has a whole new meaning today, or at least for my generation. A deadhead was someone who used to follow the Grateful Dead to all their concerts and smoked in the parking lot. I won't say what they were smoking. With the passing of Jerry Garcia, we don't see the Grateful Dead on tour that much anymore. But that was what a deadhead was, someone who followed the Grateful Dead. But guess what? All people who are sinners are deadheads. We're dead in our thinking. We're consumed by our own selfish, sinful nature. And we live for ourselves. And we say, hey, I'm God, and God isn't. That's at the core of all of our sin. But that's dead. Our thinking is dead. Our spirit is dead. And our life is dead. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, what? They were miserable. They were ashamed. They were afraid. They were spiritually dead. We always like to sometimes think of death just in terms of a physical sense. And I want everyone here to be aware of our physical death doesn't even begin to compare to our spiritual death. Where we don't know God, we don't know our Creator, and we don't know our Creator's love for us, and we don't know our Creator's plan and purpose and righteousness for us. If we live outside the Creator who's given us life, we're dead. And we're miserable. And we don't think rightly about ourselves or rightly about the world we live in. Just finished reading a book, The Mad Bomber of New York City. Some of you here, do you remember when New York City was terrorized by a bomber for over 15 years? This is before the Unabomber. This is before 9/11. There's a man named George Metesky who went around blowing up places like Radio City Music Hall, Penn Station, Grand Central Terminal. He was leaving bombs all around New York City. He terrorized New York City for over 15 years. They finally figured it out. He was actually a disgruntled Con Edison employee who didn't get all of his workmen's comp benefits. And to lash out at the city, he set bombs all over New York City. And in fact, this book actually points out some of those bombs may still actually be around. He'd left over 50, 60 bombs, and they recovered some of them. Thank God no one was ever killed. Some people were injured, but no one was ever killed. And this book was written to point out, hey, everyone's thinking about, 9/11 and terrorists, and thinking about the Unabomber. And this guy's writing this book saying, hey, even before any of these guys came around, there was the mad bomber of New York City, George Metesky. Well, no political agenda, no religious agenda. He was just mad at Con Ed. And as part of his psychological diagnosis, this is the other thing you should know. By the way, he never went to trial for his crimes. He was never convicted of his crimes. This is one of the other ironies of the story. Because he was declared by a Brooklyn judge to not be competent to be able to stand trial. So he was committed to a mental institution. And he spent so much time in the mental institution, his case never came to trial. Statute of limitations, other things had run. And basically, like 20 years later, he ended up being released from a mental institution and died at the ripe old age, around 90. But in his medical diagnosis, well, the psychiatrist said, he's a paranoid schizophrenic. He was a paranoid schizophrenic. At the heart of paranoid schizophrenia is this. Give you a little psych lesson. Paranoid schizophrenia is a mental condition where people basically believe they alone are right and everyone else is wrong. And that manifests itself out with antisocial behavior, schizophrenia. It basically is a mental condition where you think you're right and everyone else is wrong. And many times coupled with that is, then everyone else is out to get you. And you have all these irrational fears and all these irrational views on life. And you exclude yourself from the rest of mainstream society. And you actually lash out at the rest of society. Your schizophrenia, your antisocial behavior. Stop and think about that mental, medical diagnosis. And please explain to me how that's any different from being a sinner. That you're God, that you're right, that you know better than anyone else, including God, and how you become antisocial to both God and man around you. Paranoid schizophrenia is just a medical term to describe man's sinful nature. And once again, some people may grow and develop, and that sinfulness may take on greater degree and greater impact in their lives. But when you consider what's at the core diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia, it's the same core diagnosis of our sinful state, where we think we're God, that we're right, and everyone else is wrong, and we're out to get God and get everyone else. That's spiritual death. That's being dead. being dead just by the very fact that we're not God. And that God didn't create us to be antisocial. He created us to relate to Him, and He created us to relate to one another. If we're not living the life God so created us for, we're dead. So when we hear the good news, when we hear the gospel of Paul speaking to Titus and saying, hey, here's the good news. Christ died for you, and Christ made you alive again by His Holy Spirit. He regenerated you. You were once dead in your sin, but now you're alive unto God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And He renewed you. He made you new again. We are now all new creatures. We are no longer dead in our sins. We are no longer enslaved to sin. We now live by Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word in our hearts and lives, by the power and the work of this Holy Spirit in our lives. Thanks be to God. So when we talk about, once again, renewing our mind, let's first understand God has already renewed our mind. He's already made us a new creature. He's already given us a new outlook on life. He's now already said, hey, I'm not a sinner. I'm now saved in Christ. I should clarify this. I'm no longer a condemned sinner, but I am now new in Christ. And I live in Christ, and Christ lives in me. I am now a new creature in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the work of His Holy Spirit. He's renewed us. He's renovated us. He's made us a new person. He's given us a new way of thinking. He's given us a whole new outlook on life. God has already done that. God has already renewed you. He's already renewed your mind. It is who God is and what He's done. So why is Paul now in Romans telling us, hey, renew your mind? Well, God has already done it. Why add to that? Well, once again, let's look at verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. When we renew our mind, we're not trying to, quote-unquote, get right with God. We're not trying to earn points with God. We're not trying in of ourselves to change who we are for the sake of changing who we are. No, when we renew our mind now, we are responding to, we are serving, we are worshiping, we are adoring, we are appreciating what God has already done for us. It is our worship. We renew our minds because we want to worship God. We want to adore and appreciate God. We want to say, thank you, God, for regenerating me and renewing me through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Considering, Lord God, who you are and what you've done for me through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, now I am renewing my mind. Considering the first 11 chapters of Romans, where Paul has made it clear and expounded upon and further detailed everything he mentioned there in Titus 3, he's basically summing up everything he said here in Romans chapters 1 through 11. Hey, this is what God has done for you. This is how God has regenerated and renewed you. This is how God has justified you. You were once a sinner who neither sought God nor did anything righteous in God's eyes. All you knew was sin. And even though you had God's law written on your heart, you still sinned against God. But God didn't leave you in that state. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be a justification for your sins. While you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. And not only that, did he also sent you his Holy Spirit. You're no longer under condemnation and wrath. You're now in his Son, Jesus Christ. And now, since you're in his Son, Jesus Christ, he's also given you his Holy Spirit. And by his Holy Spirit, we can now pray to God. And we have communion and fellowship with God. And by God's Holy Spirit, he transforms our lives. Christ has, in fact, once again delivered us from what? A body of death. He's made us alive again. And we know we're alive because he's given us his Holy Spirit. And it's by his Holy Spirit now we can properly worship and serve God. Paul goes throughout all this detail in Romans chapters 1 through 11. We spent, what, over 2 years going through the book of Romans. We're not going to revisit that all here today. But it gives context here to these verses here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Once again, considering who God is and what he's done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ, how he's justified you, how he's regenerated you, how he's renewed you, how he's done this magnificent work through his Holy Spirit, considering all that he has done for you, now worship him. Now respond to this saving, sanctifying work. Worship him. Adore him. Obey him. Trust him. Love him. Not to earn his approval. No, it's what's worthy, it's what's the calling, what's proper, what's appropriate in terms of what, who God is and what he's done for you. Worship him now. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Serve him daily. Lay down your life for him. Considering how he did all this for you and how he served you through his Son Jesus Christ, now turn around and serve him and live for him. And then here in verse 2, Paul starts to give us some specifics of how we can practically do that. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul could have just as easily have said here, hey, here's your reasonable worship. Go to church on the Lord's Day. Hear the preaching of the word. Receive of the Lord's supper. Drink of the cup. Break the bread. Sing praise songs to God. Obey his commandments. Do all these things. That's your reasonable worship and service to God. Paul could have said that. And he would have been absolutely right in saying that. That those are forms of worship. That is a form of response to who God is and what he's done for us. When we come and we submit ourselves to the ministry of God's word, when we partake of the Lord's table, and we sing praise songs to God, yes, we are responding to God for what he's done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But those are all outward acts of worship. Paul is saying, before we even start to talk about all these outward works of worship, so to speak, before we start talking about the outward manifestations of how we give praise and glory and honor to God, we got to do something with our insides. So that when we do come here on the Lord's Day, so that when we do hear the Word of God, so that when we do participate in the Lord's Supper, so that when we do sing praises and hymns to God, so that when we do come to him in prayer, we're doing it in the right state of mind. And we're doing it in light of who God is and what Christ has done for us. We have the right inner spiritual and mental and heart and mind and attitude about who God is. So that when we do partake of the Lord's Supper, so that when we do sing a hymn to God, so that when we do offer up a prayer, it's because we genuinely and sincerely know and comprehend and grasp and embrace and know and love that Christ has saved me and sanctified me and regenerated me and renewed me. My mind is focused on that and knows that and apprehends that and appreciates that. If that's not in our mindset to begin with, then everything we do here on the Lord's Day is vain and empty and idolatrous. we first have to worship God with the right inward mental heart, mind, and attitude and spirit. And Paul is telling us very practically, hey, you need to renew your mind. He's telling this early church in Rome, and he's telling us, hey, here's the problem. See, we still live in this day-to-day sinful dying world. Even though we've been saved and sanctified by Christ, even though we've been regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit, you know, we still get caught up into this world Monday to Saturday, where we're being told all these worldly ideas and concepts and views. We're being tempted and tested with all these worldly lusts. Paul said that to Titus. Hey, remember, hey, you used to be like this. We all used to be this way. We used to give in to the lust and the pride and the malice and the hatred of this world. But we're no longer like that. Problem is we're in a world, though, that still is lustful and prideful and malicious and hateful to God and to others. And so Paul is reminding us, and Paul was reminding the church at Rome, and he's reminding Titus, and he's reminding us today, don't let this world come into your thinking. As much as we have been inwardly saved and sanctified by Christ and through His Holy Spirit, we're still in this world, and this world is trying to turn us back to it. Keep on renovating your mind. Keep on renewing your mind. Keep on making new again and reminding yourself of who Christ is and what He's done for you. Don't let those distractions of the world take away from you properly worshiping and serving and loving and knowing God. Continue to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once again, this is our worship. This is our response to what God has already done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the work of His Holy Spirit. But He's calling us to share in that work. And He's calling us to worship Him and to serve Him and to be a part of that renewing, of that transformation by the renewing of our mind. God from the beginning calls us to share in His work. I'm the creator of this whole world. I've exercised my dominion and control in creating this world in 6 days. I'm creating all the creepy crawling things and all the flying things, and then you, man, in my image. I've done all that, and I exercise my dominion control over all this universe. I hold it all together. It's here by my very word. But man, I want you to share in that. I want you to go out and fill the earth. Procreate. I want you to build things. I want you to have children. I want you to work in this world. I want you to exercise dominion and control over this world. Now, it's all subject to my dominion and control, but I'm asking you to share with me. We're always teaching our children to share. Why do you teach your children to share? Oh, let Timmy play with the toy, with the truck right now. Why? Why do we teach that? Is it just so our kids won't get on our nerves? We don't want them squabbling with each other? Or is it because we want our children to know who God is and how God is such a great sharer? He wants us to share in His glory. Well, we read there in Revelation 5 this morning. Once again, why did Christ save us? Why is He worthy? Why? It's because He saved us. And what did He save us for? So that what? We'll be His priests. We'll be His servants. And that we'll rule with Him. God calls us to share in His work. And that includes us individually as well. He asks us to share in His work in our lives. Yes, God is renewing your mind through His Holy Spirit and through His Word, and He's asking you to participate in that. That's your worship. That's your response to who God is and what He's already doing in your lives. So renew your mind. Yes, and then, yes, practically speaking, yes, then we look to all these other outward things. Yeah, we are no longer transformed to this world. Yeah, we practically work that out. Say, okay, I'm not going to watch this or listen to this on television. I'm not going to watch or listen to this on the internet. Oh, I'm not going to hang out in these places or hang out with these people. Yeah, I'm going to stop doing all these bad things and I'm going to start doing good things. Yeah, that's part of it. That's the outward working out of renewing your mind. You're no longer going to be conformed to this world and to its ways and its thinking and its way of doing things. No, you're going to renew your mind and your thinking and think about, hey, what does God hold out to be true and holy and good and righteous and pure and noble? My mindset is going to be on God and who He is and what He's called me to be, as opposed to what the world is calling me to be. And yes, we take all those practical outward steps. Yes, instead of sleeping in late and reading the New York Times and having coffee and bagels, no, we come here to the Lord's house and hear His word. We participate in the Lord's Supper. We outwardly worship God. But that's because our minds have been renewed. We've been made alive. We have a new way of thinking. We understand we live, breathe, and exist by the grace of God and for His glory and for His pleasure. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We know that Christ has so loved us that He's paid for our sins and He calls us to His righteousness and His holiness. And we want to hear His word more and more. And we want to, yes, physically and outwardly give thanks and praise and glory to His name. So that when we come here on the Lord's Day, when we're worshiping Him by listening to the pastor preach and singing the hymns and taking of the Lord's Supper, it's because we already know in our minds what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by His Holy Spirit. And how He has already regenerated us and renewed us. And now all our outward acts, all our outward expressions of adoration and praise and glory and worship, it's in spirit and in truth. And it's coming from a truly genuine renewed mind. It's not some empty, vain, idolatrous practice. So that's why Paul tells us to renew our minds. Not because, oh, it's going to get us in good with God. No. It's so that we can properly and lovingly and adoringly worship God and know all He has done for us. And to live out our day-to-day lives. Not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. So we can properly worship and serve God in our jobs, in our homes, in our schools, with our neighbors, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. That we're worshiping God not just on the Lord's Day, corporately with one another on Sunday morning, but we're worshiping God just driving on the LIE, getting to work. And we see this day, this is the day the Lord has made. And He has purpose and He's planned. And He's given me this day to live for Him and to glorify Him. That should be our renewed mind. The world doesn't trouble me anymore because Christ has overcome the world. I don't have to worry what's going on in the world and what the world can do to me. No. I'm now in Christ. I've been regenerated and renewed through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. I'm now a new creature. And I'm saved for all eternity. And I'm going to serve God forever and I'm going to reign with God forever. I have a new mind. And I can take on anything that comes this way from this world. I'm no longer conformed to this world. I now worship God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, that we would worship you, and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord God, that we would do that with a renewed mind. Oh Lord God, we thank you and praise you for saving us and sanctifying us through your Son Jesus Christ, by his precious shed blood and by his resurrection. And Lord God, we thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for indwelling us with your Holy Spirit, sealing us with your Holy Spirit, joining us to your Son Jesus Christ, all by the power and the leading and the work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you for making us alive again and renewing our minds through your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit you make your word crystal clear to us and apply it to our lives and transform our hearts and our minds and our wills and conform our hearts, minds, and wills to you, to worship you and to love you and to know you and to appreciate you for all that you've done for us, especially through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, thank you for regenerating us. Thank you for renewing us. Oh, Lord God, in proper response to who you are and what you've done for us, may we worship you, and may we worship you, Lord God, by renewing our minds, by turning away from the things of this world and turning to the truth of who you are and what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and seeing our life and seeing our world in light of who you are and what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we always be mindful and thankful for who you are and what you've done for us. And may we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. May we pray without ceasing. May we study your word day and night. May we grow in our love and faith and knowledge of you. But Lord God, may it be done from a sincere heart and mind, a genuine heart and mind that has so been truly transformed by you, that has truly been regenerated and renewed by you in the work of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord God, we wish to worship you, and we wish to worship you with a renewed mind. Oh Lord God, if there's anyone here who does not have such a renewed mind, speak to their heart this very day by the power of your gospel, to know that Christ has paid for their sins once and for all, that Christ has given them his Holy Spirit to transform their life and to renew their thinking. May they be open and responsive to your saving grace, to the truth of your word, to the power of your Holy Spirit. Save and sanctify your people this day, Lord God. And Lord, for every believer here, may we continue to worship you. May we continue to turn away from the things of this world and renew our mind, remind ourselves of who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we continue to serve you this Lord's Day and every other day. We pray, Lord Jesus, that whatever we say, think, or do, you do it all to your name, to your glory. Lord God, may we leave here now in your grace and your peace. May you continue, Lord, to strengthen us and lead us, and continue to work in our hearts and our minds and our souls and our very inner being to know you and to love you and to properly worship you. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for hearing all our prayers in accordance to your holy, perfect will. And we ask all these things. Amen.